I feel like I need an extra boost of courage and strength today, so will you please pray for me? And I want to say the words of God with confidence. And just want to, I feel like yesterday when I looked at Andrea's grandfather's funeral, the video as they had it on Zoom, I was very inspired, and the Lord began to give me a lot more scriptures to go with even what I was hearing. So I want to turn this morning to Numbers chapter 23. This is the account of Balaam, who was hired by Balak to go and curse the Israelites so that the Israelites would fall to the Midianites in the time of battle. Amalekites, I mean. So he went and he got this man who was supposed to be a prophet. And Balak really pressured him to come. And we know there's a lot going on in this story. And I'm not going to go through all the details. But I want to just get a phrase of what one of the things that Balaam said, and I want to talk about that in the message this morning. In Numbers 23 and verse 10, Balaam said, "Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." I remember my dad loved that little verse, and my dad made that his purpose in his life as well. But isn't that quite a request for a person to have? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. In the Bible, you can read of the life and the death, the last days and of many people. One little verse I want to attach to this is in Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 12. "Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged," so it looks like that a man's doing really good even though he's not a righteous man. Looks like, well, he's doing really good. He's successful. He's going to turn out okay. No, it says, "Yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God." My aunt had a word come to her a few years ago. The Lord told her, "Say to the righteous that it will be well with the righteous, and warn the wicked that it will not be well with the wicked." So today's message, "Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his," I want to also say that it will be well with the righteous, as the Lord told her to say. And I want to repeat this scripture that we just read in Ecclesiastes. Even though a sinner does evil 100 times and looks like he's going to come out okay, it won't be well with him. It won't be well with the wicked. But it will be well with those who fear the Lord. Thank the Lord. What is this well-being that is with the righteous and the death of the righteous? What is he talking about? The last end of the righteous man. We read in Psalms 37. The last end of the man in this verse of Psalms 37 and 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. When he's talking about perfect here, the Israelites had a saying. They had a title that they gave a person who never veered off course and worshiped another god, whose heart was totally set for the true God. They called that the perfect righteous. It was a person who they called Job a perfect man. In the beginning of the book of Job, it says that Job was a perfect man and eschewed evil. He was a man who kept to God, even though he knew that things had happened to him, God had allowed in his life. He still trusted in God and did not charge God foolishly. He didn't sin with his mouth. That was called a perfect man. And that's what the Hebrews called a perfect man, was somebody who did not start worshiping God, other gods. And we know that David was a man who he was not in his actions and his doings. He made some grievous sins in his life, but he never, one thing about David, he never bowed down to an idol, nor did he cause his people to bow down to idols. He never did any of that. In that way, he was a man after God's own heart. He never veered from the worship of the true God. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Solomon also had something that he said. He learned this from his father, I'm sure. Proverbs 23 and verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation or thine hope shall not be cut off. This is something that we want to keep in our minds, is the death, the end of the righteous is good. It's well. So thankful for this hope and expectation that he gives to the righteous man. The end of that man is peace. Psalms 37 said, peace is the end of him. We know that there's peace in the life of a person who has a fear of the Lord, who walks in the ways of the Lord. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 119, 165. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. Thank the Lord for that great peace that marks the life of a child of God. My dad told me one time that a friend of his, a Christian friend of his, was at a meeting one time, and he heard a man praise the Lord, and he said there was something in that man's praises that just went all through him. There was something something special about his praises. Later he learned that that man had had 5 sons killed in the war. I don't know which war it was. It was either the First World War or the Second. But he had gone through that terrible grief. And then it seems like he had another death in the family. Anyway, he had several deaths in his family, and yet he praised the Lord. There was something very special about his praises that touched this man. It was one of the older ministers who my dad knew. He said, never had he heard anything like that. But that's the way that a child of God is. Somebody who accepts the dealings of the Lord in his life and says, it's okay, it's all right, praise the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord, like Job. Whenever he praises the Lord, there is a special quality to that praise. We want to mark those kind of people. It says, the end of that man is peace. And there is an end, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Jesus described a man like that. He described the end of a man who was a righteous man. Let me find it. Described a man in Luke 16. He described two men, and I'll read about the other one first. In verse 19, Luke 16 and 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, this is verse 22, it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Here we're going to read Jesus' account of the one who feared God and the one who did not, and their end. It's a contrast, isn't it? The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. I remember when my husband's mother passed away in our house. Suddenly, we heard her fall, and she never got back up again. She died in our house. And later, I was reliving that moment, and it was a horrible thing to me, and I just had to lift up my voice to God and say, Lord, this was an awful thing for her to die so suddenly in our house. And the Lord came and visited me and brought me this scripture. The angels came and carried the beggar away into Abraham's bosom. The Lord told me it wasn't a horrible thing. It was an honorable thing. You were visited by angels in your house. And they came and carried Mother away. She had just made her peace with God just a few weeks before. She had been in our home for a few days, maybe a couple weeks. She had been in our home singing and happy, like she hadn't been for years. God had healed her mind, and she had given her heart to God, and she was at peace with God and ready to go. She was a righteous woman because what God had done for her. And the angels came and carried her away. I just am inspired with this request of Balaam's. I want to die the death of the righteous. I want to have an end like his. When I think about the righteous people that I have been near when they were at their end, as I spoke, I believe, last Sunday morning when the message and we sang the song Nothing Between, and I mentioned Beverly's mother and how I had been right at her bedside and she whispered, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. There's nothing like that. That was so wonderful to hear her say, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. To know her life and to know her prayers and to know her desires, I could witness to that testimony. There was nothing between. She didn't have anyone that she worshiped besides God. She didn't follow her flesh. She didn't follow the world or the devil. She was a perfect person. It wasn't that everything about her personality and her judgments and decisions were all perfect, but she wholly followed the Lord. That's what the Bible means when it talks about the perfect person. Later on that day, after I was with her at that time when she said that, and I was at the airport going home, I had been out in Oklahoma and I had visited her in her little mobile home there in that room where she was lying, and she told me that she wasn't suffering like they told her that she would suffer. She wasn't suffering. She was calmly at rest and she was passing away and she was at peace. It was a good end. It was the end of a saint of God. It was an honorable death. And the angels were coming to carry her away. And later that day, as I was at the airport, getting ready to board my plane, just about to board my plane, one of her daughters called me and said, "Mama just passed away." I was sad, and yet the glory of what I had seen when she was there, of that testimony, that shone over it all. There's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Yesterday, as I listened to the son and grandson of Brother Jim Wall give the eulogy and the obituary, and they spoke of his life, and they spoke of him loving the Lord and him being a patient man and a kindly man. That was a great testimony for a son to give and for a grandson to give. I thank the Lord for my dad. My dad, I was with him probably 2 weeks before he died, and then the day before and the day as we watched what was happening with my dad. I know that my son had this testimony. He came in where his grandpa was, and he also should have been in great pain, but he wasn't. I would say, "Daddy, are you hurting?" "No, no, I'm not hurting." And I asked for Daddy to give me some last words, and he did so. It was either Jesus never fails or charity never fails. It was one of those two. But we also sang some during that time, and it was beautiful singing, and he would raise his hand. He would raise it just as far as he could raise his hand. And the glory of God, the glory of heaven was in that room. Later on, when he really was passing, I felt a little disappointment because it didn't seem like he was seeing angels, or like people have said in years past, way years past, how they looked up and saw angels and saw loved ones. Daddy didn't do that. But there was something heavenly in his death. His desire was like Balaam said, "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his." Joseph was disturbed because Daddy had been a man who knew the scriptures like no other that you could think of. His memory was so good, and he could bring out and expound the Bible like you never saw before. My dad was a real Bible scholar. He practiced. He always, and this is what they said about Brother Jim. Brother Jim was a real Bible scholar, and they said he would study. Even though he knew it so well, he would still study. And my dad did too. Daddy took the Word of God and made it his life, as we heard this morning. He was built upon the Word of God. I think it was the day before, some of his grandsons and other young men came over and brought their guitars. My dad was a guitarist and loved to sing and play. And so these young men, they came and they were singing my dad's one of his theme songs was Keep on the Sunny Side. And they came and they sang to Daddy, and he acted like he had a guitar in his hand, and he was doing the chords and strumming. He had enough in him to do that. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten up your way if you'll keep on the sunny side of life. And they sang What a Kingdom, and my dad's hand went up. There's a theme that is sweet to my memory. There's a joy that I cannot declare. There's a treasure that gladdens my being, and yes, that was my dad's treasure. Nothing of this world was my dad's treasure, but the kingdom of God was Daddy's treasure. So I don't mean to be morbid or anything, but I am talking this morning about what the Lord inspired me with. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Maybe you can think of someone in your life that you knew the angels were coming to take them away. We sang that song before Daddy died. We sang, O come, angel band, come and around me stand. O bear me away on your mighty wings to my immortal home. You remember that song? That's a wonderful song. And then at about 3:30, my brother-in-law Herschel was with Daddy, and he called to the rest of us and he said, Dad has taken a change and his eyes are setting. I think it's going to be just a few minutes. So we came in from the outside, and wherever we were, we all gathered around, and we began to sing Abide With Me, which was one of my dad's favorite songs. It was number 342 in our book. We began to sing that. There's only four verses in the book, but Dad knew a fifth verse, so we had sang all of it, and Daddy was, he was drawing very near. As we were singing the fifth verse, Hold thou the cross before my closing eyes. Dad slipped away. There wasn't anything spectacular about it. It was just a quiet stopping of breathing. But it was 3:42. The time was, and we looked at the clock, and Herschel said, It's 3:42. And we were singing that number. And Dad slipped away. His last end was quiet, serene, peaceful. But it was as he wanted. It was as he wanted to go. The Lord helped him not to suffer. He didn't see any spectacular visions or anything. But he did raise his hand with victory to the songs. He was looking forward to that time. So, this 16th chapter of Luke, it also has the account of the rich man's death. The rich man also died, Jesus said, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Brother Sammons, who was an evangelist when I was younger, he said, it was a good prayer, but it was too late. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So this is the contrast to the beggar's death. This was not a good scene here. He was in torment. He was praying and asking God for help. I don't know all the details that the Bible teaches about this place, but I believe Jesus, these are Jesus' words, and I believe him. I know there's some Christians, there's some denominations who do not accept this account, but I'll believe it because Jesus said it. I believe that he wants us to live with this thought in mind, that we have an appointment to make. And I believe it's in Hebrews 10 and 27. No, it's not. It's 9 and 27, Hebrews. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Without the sin offering is what that means. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. That's the thing that makes the death of the Christian or the death of the sinner such a serious thing, is that death is not the end. After this, after death, is the judgment. And as we heard in the Bible lesson, in the Sunday school lesson, we want to live and build our lives in such a way, in obedience and faith, that we will have entrance, abundant entrance. 2 Peter 1 says, abundant entrance into that heavenly kingdom. We want to have that. When we reach the judgment, we want to have built a life upon the Word of God. As we read in these scriptures, mark the perfect man, or mark that person that makes that his life, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The saint of God does not look at death in the same way as the rest of the world. It's not such a horrible thing, because a saint of God, his life or her life is built so that this end is it. It's not an expectation that's cut off, but it is an honorable, peaceful end, and that's what we want. We want to have, as 1 John chapter 2 and the last few verses 28 and 29, and now little children, we want to have this as our testimony. Now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, like in Hebrews 9 and 28, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's what we want. We want that confidence. Amen. And chapter 3, 1 John says in verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. How does a man purify himself, as Darren read? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. So we want a life that is obedient and built upon God's word. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I love this verse. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is how we look at death and the time leading up to it, affliction and sickness. It says in verse 16 of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's what we look at, it says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. That's what's happening. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You remember a song that says, build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I believe in Colossians chapter 3, there's a thought like that. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's another characteristic of the righteous man. He has his affections on things above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I believe these scriptures are our security. These are our anchor. These are our hope for that day. That we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. For we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. There's something else I wanted to read from 1 John. Let's see. Okay, it's 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I hope that these scriptures are a comfort and a blessing to you. As I have meditated on them and thought about them and thought of this purpose that Balaam had, and then the Lord began to bring all these scriptures to me, it all comforted me. It all made it possible. Thank the Lord. The reading that Darren had there in, was it 2 Peter 1 or 1 Peter 1? It was 2 Peter 1. This is a blessing. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. I remember Beverly's mother making that statement. She used that a lot. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't want to just barely make it, but I want that abundant entrance, don't you? I want to be ready, and I want to have that ministered unto me abundantly. Oh, thank the Lord for the hope that we have. He said, it shall be well. It shall be well with the righteous. It shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. Yes. Thank the Lord. When I was a little child, I feared it very greatly. And I remember after I had gotten saved, I thought to myself, God, I don't fear this anymore. I'm clean now. He had saved me. I had believed in Him, and He had saved me. And I was clean. I thank the Lord for that wonderful hope that He had given me. I believe.
Thank the Lord.
It's one of the scriptures my dad used too, was 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A lively hope. A living hope. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Praise God. For you who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. All these scriptures are just, they're just an inspiration and an encouragement. Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
There's a scripture that's read so many times when we're out in the cemetery and we're burying someone who has died in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I remember this very often as you're standing there, and usually it's windy. Usually the wind is whipping the tent, and you hear the strings and the chains of that tent whipping, hitting the bars, and you're standing there and you're saying goodbye, and these words are being read. For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So God wants us to look at this differently than just the world does. We do look at it differently. We look at death as the entrance into life. And I believe it would be good for us to consider these things, not just at the burial of somebody, not just all of a sudden for this to hit us, but for us to meditate on these words ahead of time, to have this purpose that Balaam had in our hearts at all times. Lord, I want to die the death of the righteous. I want my last end to be like his. I want to be ready for the judgment. I want to look at the coming of the Lord differently. I want to welcome it. I want to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And that is what we say, since the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We want to say to that time of death, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Whether we're old or young, we want to have that thought in our minds. Lord, I want to welcome you and your coming into my life. I want to have confidence at your coming. I want to have that hope in me that purifies me. Lord, send things in my life that we read about there in 2 Corinthians. We look at our trials this way. These things work for us. They do it. I remember one time in a very hard trial, I said, Lord, I feel so pressed. I feel so pressed. And the Lord brought to my mind about an iron. He said he wants to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And that's what our trials do. Our trials iron us. They press us. They're hot. They're fiery. But they work for us our far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Thank the Lord. There is a confidence that I believe the Lord wants us to have, not a reckless disregard for caution or a kind of morbidity that the world has concerning death, where that kind of thing, we don't want that, but we want to have a confidence. Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We want to have not a dread, but a welcome of meeting God and being able to face him at the judgment. Because I have been obedient and I've been faithful.
Yes,
amen. I don't believe there's any use in belaboring this thought, but just felt like that the Lord wanted us to have a reminder and an encouragement that we should biblically look at these things at all times. Amen.